Now that we are officially into the spring season, thanks be to God. I'm aware that we have some gardeners in our midst. I know in the room, I think some folks online that I know of. I want to tell you that I am not a gardener. I have gardened at various times in my adult life, though not for a while, and not really since we moved out to Lansdowne a few years ago. So I have gardened, but I'm definitely not a gardener. I belonged to a couple of community gardens when we still lived in the neighborhood. It was just me at first before Amy and I met, having very little idea what I was doing. I think Janine is on Zoom and can attest to that. She was a part of the same garden. Short of it is that I was essentially kicked out of the community garden. That's how little I knew. But I did learn a few things along the way. And then after Amy and I met, it was the two of us, and eventually with some help from Gabe, committing ourselves to a community garden plot just down the street from our house. Still amateurs, to be sure, but it was and is amazing what good can come even when you have no idea what you're doing. Amen. Intention counts for something. Our energy for the constant work ebbed and flowed, to be honest, especially when we got to those soupy Philadelphia summers. You know what I'm talking about. I'm proud to say that we had some productive seasons over the years, enjoying and sometimes sharing the delicious fruits of our labor. I particularly remember, as somebody who loves lima beans, I don't think there are that many people that love, Amy hates them. I don't know if other folks love lima beans, but I remember growing lima beans one season and like, oh my God, the best lima beans I've ever had in my life. We grew with our own hands, beautiful thing. But not really knowing what we're doing, and with all the challenges of gardening, we had for sure some not so productive seasons where the insects or the squirrels or frankly our waning energy and commitment and the heat of summer left us with little to show for our efforts. We faithfully gathered our food scraps at home to add to the compost pile, the community pile at the garden. So even in those most frustrating seasons, it was always satisfying to know that at least our failed efforts would be able to join the compost pile and eventually support the collective cause from death to life, repeated again and again and again throughout every season. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Why indeed? It's a great question. These are words from the prophet known to us as Isaiah. Those scholars tell us that the book of Isaiah is really a composite work, a collection of several different prophets operating at different periods in Israel's history. In this case, the prophet is likely addressing an Israelite community during the Babylonian exile of the 6th century BCE, a community very much in the wilderness. And so these words, like the ongoing thread of prophetic witness before and after, calling the Israelites to repentance, which we know is simply the act of turning back again and again and again toward God, towards each other, toward ourselves, from fear to love, from death to life. In the midst of what surely felt more like death to the Israelites in exile, calling them back to love and life, to that which is essential, life-giving. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. Again, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Research, and frankly, our own experience, tells us that the average American at this point in 2022 is exposed to somewhere between 4,000 and 10,000 ads every single day in one form or another, on one device or another. Our consumeristic, materialistic, capitalist culture breeds dissatisfaction. It fosters anxiety and fear. What we have is not enough. Who we are is not enough. And so in conscious or subconscious pursuit of manufactured and insatiable needs we didn't even know we had, we end up spending our money, if we even have it to spend, right? Given that capitalism, of course, also breeds poverty. We end up spending our money individually and collectively on that which is not bread, and our labor on that which does not satisfy. We lose sight of what actually satisfies, what is actually enough for us and for all. I want to share a story. It's a story of unknown origin called The Quail's Song that goes like this. Once a hunter spied a flock of quail who were feasting in the tall grass at the edge of the forest. With one swift movement, he had caught them all in his net. He took the birds home and put them in the cage at the back of his house. The poor birds walked around and around the cage, crying and crying. But whenever the man came and tossed in seeds, they greedily pecked them up. All but one bird, that is. There was one bird in the cage who refused to eat, and so grew thinner and thinner. At last the day came when the man planned to bring the fattened birds to the market to sell. He looked carefully into the cage, inspecting the quality of his flock. When he noticed the thin bird, he opened the cage and took it out to examine it more closely. "Why, you're nothing but bones," he said. No sooner had he spoken than the bird flew from his hand to the safety of a branch just out of his reach. The other birds looked at their free sister and cooed sadly. The free bird sang sadly back, "You ate your captor's food, and soon you will die. I refused my captor's food, and now I am free." Of course, we're all going to die eventually, right? We know that. But what would it mean and what would it take for us individually and collectively to stop settling for the seeds of our caged consumer capitalist culture and free ourselves and each other to live, to stop settling for that which will never satisfy and attune and retune ourselves and each other to what is essential, to what is enough, in order that we all may simply live as the God of life intends, more deeply, more holistically, more abundantly. Incline your ear and come to me, listen, so that you may live. The thief, Jesus said, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. God, who is the very source of life, our lives, all life, calls us again and again and again back to abundant life, from death to life, which brings us to the gospel text from Luke this morning. Jesus, continuing Isaiah's prophetic thread, is also talking about the need for repentance. He's challenging the conventional theological understanding among Pharisees and other religious authorities of the day that physical, even material suffering was the consequence of sin, that those who suffered simply got what they deserved, punished for their sin. An absurd, right? An absurd and heartless line of thinking that continues, unfortunately, for example, with the conservative political and social trope that those who are poor get what they deserve because they have not worked hard enough, punished for their sin. Jesus would and did, of course, excoriate such thinking. He would say, we're all in this life together. Social sin operates the same way that individual sin does, and so requires repentance, collective repentance in the same way. Jesus, back to our reading, challenges these religious authorities, beginning with a reference to two specific, very specific calamities not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. We don't know any more details about them, but presumably familiar to his audience. Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. Jesus is not talking here, of course, about physical death. Again, we're all going to die someday. He's talking about spiritual death, about dying while living, about, if you will, spending money for that which is not bread, and labor for that which does not satisfy. Again, repentance being the act of turning toward God, each other, ourselves, toward love, and therefore toward life. That which is life-giving, toward that which is bread, and that which does satisfy abundant life. Unless you repent, unless you turn back from death to life, unless, as he says elsewhere, you die to yourselves to make way for the divine life within and through you, you will perish while yet living. We all will. Again, social sin requires collective repentance. We're in this together. If one suffers, we all suffer. If one perishes, we all perish. Jesus goes on, as he so often does, to use a parable to take his point further. A parable meant to give us deeper insight into who God is and what God's kingdom is like. You heard it, as Grace just read for us. A man plants a fig tree, and when he later comes looking for its fruit again and again over a period of 3 years, he finds none. Not one fig. So he tells his gardener, cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil? What good is a fig tree with no figs? But the gardener encourages patience and offers nourishment. Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. This is not an or else story about punishment and death. It's an and so story about compassion and life. The threat of death, the threat of being cut down, is meant to inspire urgency, not fear. Life is short, so don't waste it on that which does not bear fruit, on that which is not bread, on that which does not satisfy. The metaphorical fig tree that produces no figs is not hopeless, it's just not healthy. It requires nurturing rich soil, manure, compost. The God of life from the beginning is the God who enables and desires life ongoing, life abundant for all of us, for all creation. There is already enough built into the fabric of creation. So in the parable, God is not the impatient man who planted the fig tree, eager to cut it down when it doesn't produce figs. God is the constant gardener. God is, in fact, the manure, the soil, the compost, the one who turns even waste, the dead, that which is dead, into life. As some gardener, anonymous gardener, once wrote, the soil is miraculous. It is where the dead are brought back to life. And as any of you who are gardeners, again, I'm not among them, any of you who are gardeners or farmers or just committed even to the process of composting know. And as urban gardener Kyle Mitchell reminds us, he writes, compost is created out of what most would consider waste. Food scraps, newspaper, we know this, right? Hair clippings, wood shavings, dead leaves, etc. With the help of bacteria, fungi, and other microorganisms, these lifeless materials are broken down and brought back to life. This process is part of the ongoing creation of the world, he continues, a creation that values everything, uses everything, transforms everything. Nothing is wasted. Nothing is wasted. Compost is resurrection in a bucket. The God of life, the God of compost, calls us back constantly and continually from death to life. There is always one more day, one more year, one more opportunity to turn again toward that which is life-giving, to turn again and again and again toward love and life, toward abundance and wholeness and well-being for ourselves and for each other, all others. To join the constant gardener in the ongoing, compassionate work of turning, cultivating, tilling life's soil where the dead are brought back to life, getting our hands dirty, giving our labor to that which enables life, new life, life more nourishing, life more abundant, giving our labor, our money, our lives to that which actually satisfies. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why, again, do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. May it be so.